All right. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to this electrifying episode of the Geek Garage podcast, the most inclusive and accessible nerd culture audio program on the interwebs. I'm your host, David Dassaw, and joined with me as per usual is my sexy and sultry co-host, Zach Wills. How are you doing, Mr. Zach Wills?
Oh, you know, about as well as a man can be watching the world teeter on a knife's edge for the second time in 3 years.
It's real great to be living through all kinds of craziness. You know, we get through a pandemic and then we watch part of the world just devolve into madness and chaos, and it's
just taking shelter in my usual shit. Watched a bunch of YouTube videos today on RVs and Disney shit. So that's how I'm coping.
As you do, you know, one part of your brain is like, I got to prepare for this shit. And then the other half of your brain is like, let's find the most out of this world way to distract myself from impending doom.
I have been pretty obsessive about it. I've been just really bugging. The only person I'm really going hard about this stuff with is Michael Thomas, because it's kind of his job to be plugged in and know this stuff. Sure. So I'm like constantly texting him. I'm like, they just did the sanction. Visa and MasterCard just cut off all transactions with Russia. Like all this, anything I see something just wander into my field of vision, I'm like bouncing it off of him.
Yeah. It seems like a lot of things are getting cut off as far as any sort of ties that we have to Russia. And ties that we can afford to sever.
Any NATO or EU country. Again, I don't know shit about fuck, but just from what I'm gathering, talking to people that do, it's the only course of action right now. Because the minute you set NATO or EU boots on the ground over there, it becomes an official world war. Mm-hmm. And nobody really wants that.
Yeah, it's shit be wild and to put it plainly. I mean, well, I'm like you, I don't know anything about anything, but I hope that this gets resolved relatively quickly.
I don't think it is, man. I think this is going to drag out for a minute.
And well, you know, one can hope.
Well, you know what? We'll be here either way. We'll be your rock. We'll be here next week and the week after talking about nothing.
No matter what kind of crazy shit is going on in the world, we will disregard it and continue to talk about shit.
Iron Man.
Talk about shit that does not matter. So anyways, other than that, you've been doing all right? Just kind of chilling?
I've been
taking
really,
it easy?
Honestly, I've been good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Getting
fatter.
Me too.
Crushing that goal. Crushing my weight gain goal. I set a New Year's resolution to gain weight, and I am just killing it.
You're like a Jim Halper. He's like, I'm actually looking to gain weight.
It's like 150 pounds or something.
No, that wasn't wasn't Jim. He said he wanted to lose like 65 pounds. And Angela was, Michael says to Angela, like, all right, Angela, how much do you want to lose? And she's like, I can't lose any. My doctor says I actually need to gain weight. And she's like, if you gain weight, you will die. I was telling you that I found some jeans that I had been looking for a hot minute. And I tried them on and I immediately took them off because I couldn't get them buttoned.
Hurt your own damn feelings, didn't you?
Yeah. But I did, like, I turned around and I immediately tried on everything else that I was worried I wasn't going to fit into, because if I was going to have my heart broken by not being able to fit into clothes, I wanted it all shattered all at once. And I tried on some, like, my two favorite pairs of shorts that I break out for the warm weather, and they both fit. Thank God. I don't know how they still fit. It's probably because they have the elastic.
Yeah, the stretchy bands. That's what you got to do.
Like this stretch. Like, it's like they still have the button fastener with the zipper.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, there's some spandex material worked into the denim material. So.
I've had some of those. It's a very American invention.
It really is, you know, so you can have your burger and eat it too.
This is coming from a guy when he's not wearing his work uniform, he's in sweatpants or sweat shorts.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm all about that life. But yeah, so we're here. It's speaking of being relaxed, this is kind of like a relaxed fit edition of the Geek Garage podcast. Like, it is technically titled Nerdy News Updates, but you know, it's going to be a little bit of news, but it's also just going to be us shooting the shit. And that's exactly what you listeners want, right? It's just to hear two entitled white privileged males talking about
just give our thoughts, you right know, really give some insight, you exactly know, everything going on in the world. Here's how I spent my day. I woke up at about 8 o'clock and hung out with my daughter and watched YouTube videos all day, and then I drove my golf cart to my very nice dentist's office where my insurance covered it, all in sweatpants. So that's how I spent my day.
I want to know how the hell you drove a golf cart to your dentist office.
You can have them here.
Well,
you can have them.
Like, dentist office?
Yeah. You can have a dentist office, but you can also have the golf cart. All you got to do is get a little sticker, and you can drive it within like a designated area. So I try to limit my life within those boundaries. So if I can't get to it on a golf cart, I'm probably not going to go to it.
Wait, so is there like a dedicated lane, kind of like a bike lane?
No, it's just an outlined area of the city where it's permitted. You can just have it.
Wow. And this is like I guess it is a popular enough thing if there's like
Everybody's got one. Golf carts and dogs are like the two big things that everybody has.
And I'm assuming that's just because in Florida, for the most part, it's like summer all year long.
Yeah, it's like super nice year round, but I don't think that it's like super common. It's just this little town that I'm in where they just limited us to like, it's miles. You can go for a while on a golf cart, but you can go like downtown, restaurants, bars, all this stuff. The dentist, evidently.
All right.
Yeah.
That's, I don't know why that just blows my mind. Like, there's a couple people in our neighborhood that have like golf carts or, you know, some other contraption that looks like a golf cart, and they go pretty fast. Like,
mine doesn't go like super fast, but they have them now, dude. They'll move at a good clip, like a dangerous speed. I've test drove, or I've driven one that'll do like 35, and 35 on a golf cart is unnerving.
It's pretty fast.
Yeah.
We've actually been thinking about getting, like upgrading to something, like a two-seater go-kart for Charlie.
Yeah.
Like, he's not big enough to drive one on his own, even though like we would get one and he would want to drive it so bad. But he wouldn't be big enough to reach the pedals. But you know, if we got a two-seater, like, I could at least drive him around. And yeah.
I had one of those.
Yeah. I since we live in a neighborhood that has sidewalks and, you know, it's very kid friendly. Like, there is a lot of, I mean, I would say the majority of the families that live in our neighborhood are families that have kids. So,
I had one. It was like this little slap together cart that somebody made that my dad bought, but it had Indy tires on it, like slicks.
Oh, really?
And I would drive it. We had like a 2-acre yard, and I would drive this golf cart around the yard with these Indy slicks on it, just crashing into trees and stuff. It's so fun.
When I was younger, I think I told you this already. We lived on Old Lebanon Dirt Road in Mount Juliet. Yeah. And we lived on like 3.5 acres of land. And my dad, I don't want to sound ungrateful. He got us this go-kart, which was awesome. The act of him getting the go-kart was awesome. The go-kart itself was pretty good. However, it was a street go-kart. I don't know if he didn't know that ahead of time, but he bought it and then brought it home to the house. And like we don't have like any paved part of our like area. It's all like, we would need huge tires. Like, it is not meant for a street go-kart, which is what we had.
Yeah.
And so I would drive it into the grass and immediately get stuck because it was such a low rider, like you couldn't go anywhere.
That's exactly what mine was. It was just a sled with Indy slicks on it.
Yeah, and I was like, Dad, why the, like, not to sound ungrateful, but what the fuck? I said it just like that, and then he punched me into next Tuesday.
Jesus.
Fuck you, David. With his Christian strength.
speaking of which, did you watch the end of Righteous Gemstones?
I was actually just about to segue into that. I think this was the very first time I watched Righteous Gemstones, the new episode, the night it came out.
Yeah.
And this was the finale, right?
The
season finale. Yeah.
And season 3's already been renewed.
Has it? Okay.
Yep. They're already saying they're going to do it.
Yeah. I figured they would. It's a pretty good show. What did you think of the season as a whole? I guess, if you haven't seen Righteous Gemstones yet, maybe fast forward a couple minutes so you don't get spoiled. Unless you don't care about spoilers, then you know.
Yeah, I probably won't say anything specific, but I thought they wrapped it up nicely. I think that they gave you a couple storylines that you're going to follow. Like, you're going to follow Baby Billy and Aunt Tiffany and the baby, and you're going to follow... I guess, what do they call it? Mount Zion or whatever the resort is now under the gemstone ownership. So those are like the two storylines moving forward. And Kelvin and his new mini muscle men, I guess you would call them, is like youth group that he's working with now.
So right.
That's those are the three plot lines I guess we can look forward to. But I'm already looking forward to season 3.
Yeah, me for sure. His God Squad was pretty funny. I don't think that's what it was called. I can't remember what it was called, but I always just called it the God Squad.
His dad always called it the Muscle Men.
the muscly boys.
The Muscle Men and Motorcycle Men. Everything is like really...
Motorcycle Ninjas.
It's really plain speak, the whole show, the way they refer to anything.
Yeah, it's it takes place in South Carolina, right?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's definitely not like Alabama or anything. It's not like super thick, but it's more like of a drawn out Carolina type accent, I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's South Carolina, I think. But for the most part, I really enjoyed this season. I did not see that where the last episode starts. It kind of backtracks a little bit to the night of the the dude's murder. Did not see that coming. That is just the genius of the writing of Danny McBride and David Gordon Green, and I think Jody Hill, she might be a writer in there too. I know she was a very heavy director in this season. Overall, loved this season. Very funny, and looking forward to see where they go with it.
Highly recommend. 5 stars.
Yeah. I'm still trying to figure out who my favorite character is. Like, it usually with a show, I latch onto a character pretty quickly. It might be Danny McBride's character. I want to like Adam Levine's character, but there's just something there that I'm like, for me, it's possibly the most least interesting part of the story or their family. I don't know why.
There wasn't a moment for me where I was disappointed when they transitioned to the next segment or the next story arc.
Sure.
There wasn't like a minute where I'm like, ugh, this story or that story. It kept me engaged the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. Same for me. It's just, you know, there were certain story or character arcs that I preferred over others. I do like how John Goodman's character, the dad, he came around at the end to help fund or finance their investment in the Zion place. Yeah. So yeah, that was pretty cool. But yeah, you want to get into some nerdy news?
Yeah. Yeah. You had some good stuff on here.
Yeah. I got just a couple things. So, we're recording on March 1st, and this was just announced this morning, actually. Some news on the Disney Plus front. So, as of March 16th, all of the quote unquote Marvel Defenders series, which were originally featured on Netflix, will be available to stream on Disney Plus. So a giant, huge question that a lot of people had is finally been answered. The people like me who were very concerned, especially when Netflix announced that all those shows were going away. So we're talking about Daredevil, Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, The Punisher, and the Defenders and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I think it's like six shows total, six or seven. And yeah, for some reason, I thought they might go to Hulu because I thought I read that. That might still be a possibility as well. But so the deal is that what I read the article this morning is that they're going to be available on March 16th. And at the same time, they're going to incorporate some parental controls, because pretty much all of those shows, like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., that's a little bit more family friendly, but you know, I'd say it's on par with all the other MCU stuff, but you got shows like The Punisher where it is very, very violent. And they already announced that they are not going to edit them in any ways. It's going to be airing in the same format and edit that it did in Netflix, which is fantastic news. Mm-hmm. They're just going to add some parental controls. So I can I gotta imagine that there's going to be, like, you know, when you have Netflix parent and kid accounts, and same thing on Amazon, like you can't access certain shows with that account. And I gotta imagine also that they'll incorporate some sort of passcode that if you want to have a passcode necessary in order to access the adult account, then maybe they'll have that as well. But either way, they're going to incorporate some parental controls, which is good.
Are they just going to put like a disclaimer at the beginning, like they do with like the old Disney movies when they're like, sorry, it's racist, but here you go.
Looks like Brer Fox and Brer Bear are causing some trouble downstream. You're right on Splash Mountain. Well,
God, everybody lost their mind on that. Sorry, I don't want to sidetrack you.
No, that is a racist movie from the old Disney past, the Disney vaults, as they say.
Yeah. Well, we've grown as a people.
Yeah. It's important to keep those around to recognize how far we've come and to make sure that we don't fucking do it again.
My daughter was really into Aristocats, and every time I watch it, and I've seen it a lot, it's just like, oof, oof.
So it's been a hot minute since I've seen Aristocats.
A fun watch. You should go back and watch it, because it actually is a very good movie, in my opinion. As far as animated old Disney movies go, it's one of the better ones.
Okay. What are some of the sticking parts, if you don't mind?
The bad one is when you meet Scat Cat, if you remember Scat Cat, the one who played the trumpet, and his gang of musician, also cats. Mm-hmm. There's one particularly very bad stereotypic character that is, you presume, Chinese, and it is a cat wearing the rice paddy hat with some fucking Mickey Rooney teeth from like Breakfast at Tiffany's, and he's playing a piano with chopsticks. Yeah. It's so bad, Jesus dude. It's Christ. So bad. But yeah, that's so I don't know if they're going to put like a disclaimer at the beginning of these shows or if they're actually going to segment it off into like the little kids portion or I don't know. But
yeah, start out the Punisher with like, there's a lot of blood and guts and gore in here, but at least it's not racist. This is the woke as fuck Punisher series.
Woke Punisher.
Yeah. Yeah, the Punisher is like the least racist person of all time. He kills everyone.
Indiscriminately.
Yeah, there is no discrimination or prejudice in his body. I think children and women are, they might be the only, and I think even that might be a soft rule, but
might be a cool series to follow moving forward in the podcast to look back at the comic character and how it's evolved into what we have.
Right. Did you by chance watch any of those series? Daredevil or anything?
No.
You would be okay to pick those up because they only just briefly mention like the events of Avengers 2012, like the Battle of New York gets thrown around like once or twice, but for the most part they are great standalone series. I think you would really like Daredevil. You probably like them all, but my favorites were Daredevil and Punisher. And Jessica Jones was excellent too. Mm-hmm. David Tennant was in the first season and he was so fucking good. But yeah, you should check them out.
Yeah, maybe now that I'm done with Gemstones, I need something to fill that slot since Peaky Blinders isn't coming out until I guess the summer in the US. So
yeah, that's right. Okay, so next up on the list, this was just a little news story I came across on Comic Book Resource or CBR.com about Sonic the Hedgehog 2. The movie is slated to be released on April, blind. Yeah, I need my eyes checked. I just have my laptop like 5 feet away from me. So recently there was a public outcry declared when a couple of actors' names were quote unquote missing from the movie poster. These people making these outcries claimed that they were missing. I guess omitted was would be a more accurate term, but anyways, so specifically it's Colleen O'Shaughnessy, who voices the character of Tails, and Tika Sumter, who plays Maddie. She was also in the first film. She was the love interest to James Marsden's character, who I served him chicken fingers once upon a time when I worked at Target. Super random.
Well, you're not just going to blow over that. So why? Why were there chicken fingers at Target? I didn't think there were chicken fingers at Target.
You remember, I don't think a lot of Targets are like this nowadays, but you remember the Food Avenue place where you go and you get your
I thought it was just like a hot dog and popcorn and like a Coke and shit like that.
Yeah, well, that's what most sane people bought. Like most people, like 9 times out of 10, when someone walked up to the counter, they'd be like, give me that popcorn meal deal.
Yeah, because you smell it and it's like, you want it. It's like walking into a movie theater. You want the popcorn.
Exactly. So that's where I was working. And
you serve this person some chicken fingers.
Yeah. We had other items. We had chicken fingers. We had pretzels. We were also the licensed distributor for Pizza Hut.
I remember that.
So, okay. So we had like the small six inch personal pan pizzas, but James, Mr. Cyclops from X-Men and a million other movies, he wanted some chicken fingers. And I was like, James, I am so sorry. I didn't talk to him like he was my fucking best friend.
Hey, James. Hey, James, listen.
James, listen. no one really orders the chicken fingers, so we keep them frozen and take about 6-7 minutes to cook. And he's like, that's cool, bro. I'll go over over around the corner and sit down, and I'll be back in a few minutes. And I was like, I'll bring them over to you. You need any sauce? And so I made him some chicken fingers, and that was my story.
All right, great story. All right, that's all I wanted.
Keep going. Like I think he actually came through a couple times. The first time, my team lead was she was up at the register checking people out, and I was back there like prepping pizzas or whatever. And she like runs back to me. She's like, Cyclops is here. I was like, what in the fuck are you talking about? She's just like screaming in my face, like, Cyclops is here. Cyclops is here. I was like, I don't understand what you're talking about. Who the fuck is Cyclops? And like, I look over and realize it's James Marsden. And I was like, holy fuck, Cyclops is here. What is James Marsden doing in Mount Juliet, Tennessee? Turns out that his wife lives here.
Okay.
So that's the reason why he was there. Like at the time, it was the day after X3 came out in theaters, and I was like, such weird timing to have him pop in like the day after the third X-Men movie comes out.
Cool.
Anyways, back to Sonic the Hedgehog 2. So people were pissed that these two actors were omitted, especially Colleen O'Shaughnessy. She, like I said, the voice actor for Tails. And they thought this was indicative of a much larger problem that is going on right now in Hollywood, which has to do with the mistreatment and misrepresentation or underrepresentation of voice actors. And I kind of have to agree. Zach, I wanted to get your thoughts on this. I wasn't exactly sure how much you've been paying attention to.
I saw this story. I don't know what goes into a movie poster and what decisions get made as to who's billed to be on the poster. And this is obviously animated, so the voice actors. So I don't know why they would have been omitted. I mean, Tails, I think, is a pretty prominent character.
Right.
I haven't even seen the poster. I don't even know. Like, could they have fit it? Did they make it the names like, hey, you actually have a link here. Maybe I should have clicked the fucking link before I start talking.
I mean, in my opinion,
could they have fitted it? I mean,
in my opinion, no poster is too small to be able to not fit as many names as you want. Just make the font size a little bit smaller or stagger the names.
I don't even know why I even had that thought. There's no reason you can't fit the names. So I don't know why you would omit a prominent character like that. I don't know.
Maybe
it is a problem. Again, I don't know what goes into that billing decision. So.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been just an honest, like, quote unquote, mistake, but like, I don't know.
Maybe your agent didn't push for it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just guessing.
I don't know either. But like I said, there is a, this is just another drop in the bucket of the fuckery that's been going on with the treatment of voice actors. A couple weeks ago there was the big hullabaloo surrounding Futurama. That voice Bender. One day when they announced that Futurama was coming back for another season, people got super psyched, and then they found out that what's his name wasn't coming back to voice Bender, and I was like, all right, let's give it a minute. Let's figure out why. Maybe he's, contracted to be on other stuff and just can't fit it into his schedule. Turns out that no, they very much wanted him in there, but they were lowballing him, and
they couldn't come to an agreement on the salary.
Yeah, which is horseshit. They could have paid him what he wanted. I don't know what he wanted, but I am almost positive that they could have paid it and they didn't.
I tend to think you're right. Like, I doubt he was asking for the moon. Maybe he was, but I doubt he was asking for like an exorbitant amount.
Right. And that's a dude that's been in the game for a while. So he knows his worth. He knows exactly what the deal is. And, you know, I doubt highly that he was being unreasonable. Like, voice actors are notoriously amazing people. I don't know. So that's what it boils down to. People, you know, I don't think it could be proven. Maybe it could, but I feel like it'd be hard up to prove in this instance that Hollywood is like, fuck voice actors. That's why this person isn't featured on the movie poster.
I don't know. You know, I'm so disconnected from all that. And unless you're in the room, we'll probably never know, but yeah.
So, you know, leave it up to speculation. But like I said, people were pissed, for these people that were not represented on the billing. And, I get it. Yesterday, 2/28, the second Fantastic Beasts trailer came out, for The Secrets of Dumbledore. did you peep this trailer, Zachary?
Yeah.
You did? What'd you think?
I guess I'll watch it. I've seen the original, and I've seen Crimes of Grindelwald. They're good. They're entertaining. I went into the first one wanting that nostalgic Harry Potter, and I didn't get it, but I was still okay with it. And the same thing with Grindelwald. It got better, I'll admit. It got like, okay, now I'm more into it. And the third one, I'm going to see it just because I'm into it and I want to see where it goes. So I think it looks good.
Yeah. Dumbledore was, I'm pretty sure Dumbledore was my favorite character. From the original Harry Potter, from the books and movies. Like, I thought he was just the fucking goat, man. Maybe it's from like my like looking back to my days in high school, and one of the things that got me through school was my great teachers. Not all of them were great, but the good ones really helped me out.
Good for you. Good teachers.
And like, you know, Dumbledore, he wasn't an instructor in or a professor in the Harry Potter years, but you know, he is now. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing more that side of him, that younger side. And I'm really looking forward to it. Looking to see more of him and more Grindelwald and more of
Aberforth.
Ezra Miller's character. Starts with a C, right?
I couldn't tell you. I'm interested to see what holes it fills and what foundation it lays for the original lore too. That's what interests me. Like, you're moving into like Hallows and oh my God, what came before Hallows? Help me, David. I'm blanking. It's been a long day, and I'm drinking.
What do you mean? What do you mean? What came before Hallows?
What was the sixth book?
Oh, the Half-Blood Prince.
Thank you. That's what I was going to say, but I had no confidence. So, yeah, but yeah, I want to know. I want to know what foundation they lay and the story they tell, because we get a glimpse of it through Half-Blood Prince and Hallows, of the like the history of Dumbledore as like a person. And that was super interesting, I think, to a lot of people, me included. And I'm really interested to see what history they write and if they do him justice.
Yeah, for sure. I'm really looking forward to it. And so Jacob Kowalski. Yeah. The quote unquote muggle who,
yeah, if you would have said Kowalski, I would have known.
Is he magic now? Because they fucking hand him
they give him a wand. Yeah, I don't know.
Don't you have to be
You know Dumbledore and his bag of tricks. Maybe he knows something about Kowalski's lineage that Kowalski doesn't know. Maybe he's a squib of some kind. I don't know.
It would make sense that it does have a magic background because he was able to... did they ever explain how... Because like they wipe his memory at the end of the first Fantastic Beasts movie, right?
Right. And it's been so long since I've seen it.
And then the second movie comes along and him and... What's her name? Like they're back together. Like granted, right. she's like brainwashing him into like following her around, but like he remembers who she is. And so I'm like, how the fuck did that happen? Like, I feel like he's partially magic. Maybe I'm just like missing things that I should already know. And I'm just like too stoned whenever I watch these movies, so I don't remember anything.
I don't know. You'd have to probably dig deep into Pottermore to figure out.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah, how or why that would happen.
Yeah, nobody got time for that.
No.
Some people do. I do not.
Nor do I.
I have two children with autism that just love playing with their own feces. It is just awful. Folks out there, if you're thinking about having children, do not. It is a trap. It is a trick.
Mine is in the habit of trying to take her diaper off now. She's like trying to rip it off, like trying to Hulk out of it, stick her arms down in the bands and like try to like
really. You know what that means? She's ready for potty training.
Yep, you're right. And we're fixing to really get on that.
You're lucky that you have a girl and just one girl. Girls potty train a lot easier and a lot faster than boys.
I have heard that.
I don't know why. Maybe because you sit down for everything. I don't know if that's part of it, but just historically, you know, not trying to paint with a broad brush, but we are talking about biology, which is a science, and anatomy, but yeah, like just historically speaking, across the board, it is much easier to potty train girls.
I don't know. I have no experience, and I've not really talked to anybody about it who's been through the potty training phase, but I have heard from a few people that girls tend to be easier. I cannot speak to it at all. I don't know. I've not even read into it. My wife handles most of the legwork. God bless her.
So. Yeah, it's and it is some legwork. I'll tell you that. So if your wife can get it done, you owe her a debt of gratitude.
Oh, she's always got a plan.
Yeah. Let's see what's next up on my list. This is pretty much the last thing that I got. The Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser. So we got we talked about this on a previous Nerdy News update a couple months ago. I think it was in the ass end of 2021, but basically whenever all the details were first officially released about the immersive 2-night stay experience in Disney Orlando. They released all these details. Well, they just opened their doors, I guess unofficially, but to like VIPs, influencers, people that are a big deal. But
it was a press release.
Yeah, but what's funny is that it's not like people that write for magazines or like
it was influencers, YouTubers, people who have big followings. Right. They opened it up to these people first, to get their first takes, and they have delivered with 2+ hour videos that you can go find on YouTube.
Yeah. So if you want, basically, like if you have no plans on visiting, but you want to see what it's like, there is plenty of material out there already. And I think this just happened this past weekend.
It did.
And I'll be honest, it looks fucking dope. I want to do it. Probably will never do it. I don't know. Maybe I'll save up and do it, but it looks like a lot of fun.
It looks like something.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. What what stood out? So one, I know it's a lot to take in.
Mm-hmm.
And the video was really long that you watched and the one that I watched. So what stood out to you most that got you most excited that you were able? I don't know if you could sit down and watch the whole thing, but.
It's a good question. I think just overall, like the experience of like, you know, there was video of it all and just walking in and like the feeling that you're on board, like this Halcyon cruiser, this starship, it, like everything is just so impeccably decorated and you just feel like you're in the Star Wars. And it like, it just gave me goosebumps. Like thinking about being in that kind of situation where you feel fully immersed and, the idea of like the whole thing being structured, like, you know, that I think despite like the excitement of going on vacation to like Disney and like planning everything, like there's still a lot of stress to it. And there's a lot of variables and like, you don't know how long you'll be waiting in certain lines and you know, you got things to pay for. There's just so many unknowns, so many variables, but with this, like it's all structured for you. And so there's like very little downtime. And
you like that.
And yeah, exactly. And like, I think that is going to be something that really drives people away because they don't want to be tethered down to a schedule. Mm. I think I would really enjoy that because, like it, you know, it, they designed this with a certain flow in mind. They developed an itinerary. They developed all these different things for you to do in a very specific form and fashion. And none of it is by accident. And I feel like if you go, you're going to have a great time. Of course it's $6,000 fucking dollars.
Yeah. Anywhere from $4,000 to $6,000, I think was the average for the two night experience, by the way. You can go buy a 4-day cruise on Disney Cruise Line for that amount of money,
but it is a cruise. So
That's actually how they're billing this one. It's supposed to be like you're on a cruise ship. That's why there's like an itinerary and it's supposed to be like this contained experience. Like you're on a ship and then you dock, you know, dock at what Batuu, I think they call it, but you're actually going into Galaxy's Edge in the park. So I guess it's like you're docking at Castaway Key or whatever, and you can go experience that. But when I looked at it, I was a hard no. When they announced not only the price, but what they were offering, I didn't like the idea that everything was regimented and that I couldn't come and go as I wanted, that there was like mandatory things I had to be at to experience A and choose a path between A and B, because that's what it is. You're meant to be guided along this experience. And I understand. Mm-hmm. And I was open to the idea that when they opened this up and you saw the videos and stuff, that it would like blow my mind.
Yeah.
And I would be like, okay, now I want to do it, but I just wasn't, I guess.
Okay.
And granted, I'm the new age Star Wars person who wasn't the nerd in the early 2000s and the 90s. So when growing up for our generation, so maybe I'm not the candidate, but still, I don't think I'm the person who's going to pay that money to do this thing.
Sure.
Just for me, because it's insanely expensive. And I don't know if that's sustainable, because I don't know how many people are going to do this, because it's a one-off. Now I know that you can experience storyline A or storyline B, and there's no way you're going to do everything on your first visit, because it's just not tailored for you to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how many people are going to continue to come back, if that makes sense. I don't know if it's sustainable. Like, how do you change it?
Right. Yeah. I got to imagine that they have plans to evolve it over time. It seems like what they have now, like the couple of storylines to choose from, they'll be set with those two for a couple years because,
yeah,
you know, it's going to take people a long time to gather the funds to attend this thing. Like, this isn't something that, like, you can, you know, stash a little bit of money away for, you know, 6 months and then go. Like, because you know, you're not talking just $6,000 for the two night stay. Like, you're probably going to want to do more Disney stuff afterwards. Like, at the very least, you're going to do Hollywood Studios. Like you said a few minutes ago, when you quote unquote dock at the very end, you're docking at Galaxy's Edge. So you're going to do that. You're going to get off. You're going to either build a droid or build a lightsaber and do all that and drink some blue milk. So you're going to spend a couple extra, you know, $100 during your day there. And then you'll probably end up going to a couple other parks as well. So
I think the person that's going to actually pay for this and come down for more than just the 2 day, they're going to do their 2 days here at the Galactic Cruiser. And then they're going to be at the All-Star Resort or off property at the Hilton with me.
Sure.
For the remaining 4 days of their stay.
Right. Yeah. Did you see that there's actually Disney like log cabins? Did you see that?
At Fort Wilderness, they have like 400 something cabins. Is that what you're talking about?
I think so. Like, yeah. It's technically considered like Disney property, like that you can stay on. And
yeah,
Fort
Wilderness campground, if that's what you mean. It's
I think so.
799 acres that they have. You can,
yeah,
look at, you can bring your RV if you have one or your travel trailer. They have like full site hookups that you can camp if you just have tents that you want to prop up, and they have cabins that you can stay in. It's super popular. It's actually why I'm shopping right now for travel trailers. I'm looking for to pull to use at not only the beach here locally, because you can take a travel trailer into the state park area here, but also to camp at Disney's Fort Wilderness, because I'm trying to solve the problem of lodging when visiting Disney and Universal, because the travel is cheap enough because we can just drive. I can buy annual passes, so that solves admission. But the true challenge is lodging. And one of the three or four angles that I'm going to approach, that includes Disney Vacation Club, Hilton Rewards points through just the credit card rewards points programs, and just staying off property at, say, Four Seasons or wherever, is a travel trailer to stay at Fort Wilderness campground. And if you actually go and look into it, it looks amazing. Like, if you're into the glamping experience, it looks amazing.
Yeah, I saw some pictures pop up. You know how Facebook gets you anytime you just say Disney World out loud. Like, next time you log on to Facebook or Twitter or whatever, you're seeing ads for Disney World. And yeah, those popped up. And I was like, holy shit, this is beautiful. Like, I had no idea that they had like a campground with, with cabins and
stuff. Go on YouTube and look at a Fort Wilderness campground and just look at how amazing, in like the pool area and the restaurant and all the stuff. It looks really good. I really want to do it, but it's just the challenge of how. That's what I'm struggling with right now.
Yeah. Well, I have faith that you will figure it out.
Oh, I'm dumb enough to spend whatever amount of money it takes.
Young, dumb, and full of cum. Yeah.
But I am, and that's something that I reached out to when I mentioned I texted or messaged a bunch of people in the Facebook group. I asked if they would be interested in learning about Disney and things like that, because it's out of reach for so many people. And there's already so many content creators for Disney. Like, this is nothing new, right?
Yeah.
But if I'm going to go anyway, which I am, like Universal and Disney and the parks, I want to be able to bring something back and offer some sort of insight and opinion and hopefully help somebody who might be looking into it.
Sure. Yeah, totally makes sense. Well, you got me sold. I'll listen to your content, Zach.
Listen to my bullshit.
Yeah.
Listen to this white guy talk about Disney and how much money he spent.
Fucking tool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you got anything else?
In terms of that? No, not really.
Shit that doesn't suck.
hitting up my letterbox to see see what to plug for my shit that doesn't suck. And I haven't logged anything recently. I've been slacking on my login on Letterbox. Haven't been. I've been watching plenty of stuff. I guess I'll go first. So we talked about Righteous Gemstones, finished that up. I caught the season 2 finale of Euphoria, cause that aired, as well. That was pretty good. You don't watch Euphoria, do you, Zach?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Yeah, so that was pretty good. Let's see. Can't really, like I said, there's been plenty. Better Call Saul final season was recently announced. And so I decided, hey, why not make one more pass through of the entire series?
Really?
I started it on like Friday evening, and I am already to season 4 today.
God, I'm just going to watch a recap video, but
it is so much easier to binge watch than Breaking Bad. Like, you watch 2 episodes of Breaking Bad and you fall into a depression spiral.
It's a heavy watch.
But Better Call Saul, I feel like it's just like tonally, it's very similar because it's the same showrunners.
Sure.
But it's just different. Like, you have the humor of Jimmy McGill and / Saul Goodman, and the, you know, just the craziness that he concocts. So, I feel like it's a much more laid back and lackadaisical series to watch. But still intense in moments. Yeah. But yeah, like I said, I wanted to rewatch it again, because why not? And it's just as good as ever. Anyways, that's my shiz. What's your shiz? You got anything?
I don't know. I can't think of anything new. I was excited about Peaky Blinders, but then I realized that I can't see it yet.
Yeah.
So I thought about going back and watching the latest season of that just to get prepped for when we can. So I guess this is something that I have to look forward to if I didn't really miss it. Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. If you haven't seen that, did you say you have or have not?
I have not, but I've heard great things about it.
Oh, it's phenomenal. First of all, visually, lovely.
Okay.
The colors and the sort of 50s vibe, the way they put it together is just amazing.
What's it about?
It's about this lady who pursues stand-up comedy.
Okay.
And she has this manager who's this rough and tumble lady who is very tomboyish, and she's extremely funny in the show. All the acting is very good. It has the guy who played Monk. I can't remember his name.
Oh, Tony Shalhoub.
Yes, he plays the dad.
God, I pulled that out of my ass. I literally have not thought about that dude in like 10 years.
And you didn't even stand up. he's phenomenal. This show, I could not get enough of this show. It's like Gemstones level interest for me. Okay. So now that I realize, I'm going to leave here as soon as we're done and go watch the episode if I can find it. It should be on Prime, but that's one to really look into if you haven't seen that one.
Dude, speaking of Prime, they're really stepping up their game in terms of original content. Yeah. Have you noticed that? Like that new Reacher show, I guess, is it Jack
yeah.
Reacher?
Yeah. I've not watched it, but yeah.
People have been raving about it. Apparently it is very good.
Who's the actor that plays Jack Reacher?
I don't know. I don't know if he's necessarily a new actor, but apparently he's very good. Like, that's one of the main things that people say, is like, this guy actually fills the idea of Jack Reacher from the books or whatever. Like, he actually...
Alan Ritchson. So...
Alan Rickman.
Ritchson. A lot of shirtless pics.
Hell yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Spoiler alert.
talking rainforest, sweaty.
dude's fit. Go figure.
He's a thick boy.
I'm on his IMDb. Let me see what he's known for. If my shitty computer will load. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2014, 2016.
Was he Casey Jones?
I don't know. Hunger Games 2013. Whatever Fired Up was in 2009.
I don't know that.
I don't know either.
I don't know her.
That's my purse. I don't know you. filmography, obviously Reacher, Titans, the TV series, Dark Web, Cicada 3301, Ghost of War, DC's Legends of Tomorrow is a TV series, Supergirl. I don't know any of this.
All right. Well,
okay. Yeah.
Yeah. We get the point.
He's Black Mirror 2016. There you go.
Oh, I know that one.
Might have seen him in there. Yeah.
Yeah. That's another show that they haven't done a new season of that in a while. It's probably because they're having a hard time coming up with new material because the world is so fucked up.
That is so relatable. We got to really throw them a curveball.
Yeah.
World War III. What?
Yeah, they were probably in the middle of writing the new season, and then all that stuff came true.
Yeah, in January, you know.
Right, they're like...
2020. Like, fuck!
Wait, no. Okay, for the next episode of Black Mirror, we're going to have a bunch of fucking rednecks in Viking helmets storm the Capitol building.
Wait.
Wait.
Son of a bitch.
Never mind. There's a guy farting in Nancy Pelosi's chair. Anyways, God, this episode is it's a special.
Both sides.
There's a reminds me of that comment that Ryan made on that episode of The Office.
Where when he like, toasted the troops.
Here's to the troops, all the troops, both sides. What's so great is like if you have the subtitles on or like if you turn the volume all the way up right after he says that, like I don't know who says it, but someone goes, that's weird. Like you made it weird, Brian. It's so good. Get your head in the game, Gabriel. Why are you talking to Stanley's mistress? That's a new record. It took us an hour to bring up The Office.
No, we brought it up in like the first 4 minutes if you listen back.
Never mind.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, listeners, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Geek Garage Podcast. We appreciate it. Find us on social media if you haven't already. Subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. Leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. Visit our Etsy shop, subscribe to our Patreon if you feel kind and courteous enough to throw us a few dollars a month. We greatly appreciate it. All the links for that will be down below in the description. And as always, be kind, stay geeky, and eat lots of cheesecake. Bye!
Love y'all.